everybody, do me a favor. Put your hands together just like this. What y'all doing over there?
like a lamb led to the slaughter, they led him off to die. With sounds of sword and soldiers, shouts of crucified. Without a word of malice to the ones who left with pride. On a hill between two thieves, they hung his head and died. Well, the earth did shake and tremble, the sky turned black as night, and the dead came forth to testify of God in all his might. And though they crucified him, sealed him in a tomb, no grave could ever hold him, no stone or burial room.
Father, good morning. Good morning. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. We come to you, Lord, with the fruit of our lips, the praise and our love for you, our appreciation for you, our gratitude for you, God. Not just what you do for us, but who you are, God. Who you are. Holy Spirit, you are wonderful. In ways that our words fail to describe, you're wonderful. You're full of wonder. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice in it. We're glad in it. Lord, today is the day of salvation, and we seek you early. We seek you as the healer, the grave opener, the prison opener. We seek you, the healer of the sick. We seek you, the Prince of Peace, we seek you. The Lord of Lords, we seek you, the one true God. We seek you, the Word of Life. We seek you as the living waters, that bread of life. We seek you, the everlasting Father. Lord, you are the opener of blind eyes. You are the deliverer. You are Savior. You are King. You are Redeemer. And we call on your name this morning, Jesus, because you save to the uttermost. How great is the Lord? How great are you, Lord? How great are you and greatly to be praised? Father, build up the TED Line listeners, Lord. Build up the Jesus believers, them up. Build up their family members and their faith in you this morning. Not with warfare of the physical flesh, but build us up to be mighty through God. Mighty through God in the spirit of the inner man. To the pulling down of strongholds this morning. Lord, I pray that you strengthen us in the Lord. Help us to be strengthened in you, Lord, to the casting down of imaginations and everything that exalts itself or everything that's puffed up in pride against the knowledge of you, God. We cast down those strongholds of rebellion. We cast down those strongholds of witchcraft, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of you, Christ. Help us to bring every thought into obedience to you, Christ. And having in us a readiness because of you to revenge all disobedience. When our disobedience is fulfilled, bring us together as a body of believers in you, Jesus, into agreement, into unity with your own Holy Spirit, God, and make us to be fully convinced and sure in our hope and built up on the Word of God, that's Jesus. So that in order to, we might be able to tear down and to lay to ruins the fortresses of the devil, the fortresses of Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, tear them down, all those fortresses, all those strongholds of the serpent. Through your Holy Spirit, we put their ranks into derision, into waste, into ruin. By faith in you, Jesus, we bring their powers to nothing. We take back our inheritances. We take back all our progress. We stand firm on you, Lord. God calls the weak to say, I am strong. As you teach us to know you and to be strong in your word and to do exploits. Continue, God, to open graves with your word this morning. Save the lost, because we can't save ourselves, God. Shine that light of your truth into the prisons of darkness and cast out the demons and expose their lies and shut down all their works. Lord God, there is no God beside you, Lord. You are our Lord. You are our Lord this morning. You are Lord, Jesus. You are Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Tedline. I want to talk to you this morning about something that we can't get enough of, and that's being strong in God. Being strong in God. If I were to title the message this morning, I would just call it Not Carnal, But Mighty Through God. Not carnal, but mighty through God. In 2 Chronicles 33:1-20, we're going to read the King James Version. We're going to read about King Manasseh. Now it says King Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and he used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, and which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David, and on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers that spoke to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up groves and graven images, before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Now let's look at 2 Kings 21, 1 through 18. It references the exact same story. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. and he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel have any more, move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all the Amorites, all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did, and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Now, it's no shocker that he practiced witchcraft. That's pretty obvious. It's no shocker that he brought idols and false gods into the house of the Lord, desecrating and defiling the most holy place of God's abiding, his residence. It may be this morning that the liar and his witches are claiming this today to be their moment, but although they relish in the chaos, although they might relish in the threats of death that are now permeating the airways, there's still the word of God to be dealt with. They can put their trust in the problems that they're glorifying, but there's still the word of God to be dealt with. The workers of iniquity are parading, proudly parading the chaos. And they're parading their, and they're taunting and they're flaunting and they're marching around the city, and they're parading in front of the gates of that city called holy. But they're still the word of God. See, we possess our gates. That's what the word of God says. And they can intimidate with posturing, but they're still the word of God. They can intimidate with a show of force because they put their trust in their fortresses that they built, that evil built, that magic crafted. They can put their boast in that craft that they crafted in their plan to siege the kingdom of God and God's people, but they're still the word of God to be dealt with. See, all their weapons and all their lies that they flanked God's people with on every side, they fail. See, God's word will be the final word. And God's word says we win. God's word says of his kingdom, there's not going to be an end. The word of God says that at the mention of his name, every knee has to bow. See, it's a shoddy and fragile thing to put trust in a man's craft in a man's imagination. And my advice to the witches, whoever you think you are, or wherever you think you've got your power from, it's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. But the power to save to the uttermost that only comes through Jesus is not counterfeit. It's not short-lived. It's not feeble. It's forever. The power in the blood, the shed blood of Jesus, is forever power, forever standing. It will not be withstood. There is no if you're a witch, if you are putting your faith in Wiccan beliefs or pagan beliefs or witchcraft or Luciferianism or whatever ism that you put your faith in, there is hope in Jesus. And that's my advice, my offer to you this morning, is to consider Jesus before it's too late. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 7 in the Amplified says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him for salvation while he is near. Let the wicked leave behind his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion, mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Return to the Lord. Return to God. And he will abundantly pardon. If you think that your pit you dug, that hole you dug yourself, is too deep, too great, too abundant, well, guess what? He will pardon. He will pardon you abundantly. He will save to the uttermost. 2 Corinthians 10 says, in the King James, says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust in himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Though I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that as such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached out unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our land. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not that he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Now verses 3 through 6 in the Amplified of 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 in the Amplified, I want to put this out again through the Amplified. For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh, and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish every act of disobedience when your own obedience as a church is complete. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to set the prisoner free. That's good news for the witch. That should be a beautifully open door. That's the good news. See, it was for that cause that Jesus Christ was manifest, to destroy the works of darkness. He still does that today, every day, through the spiritual walk, through that spiritual prayer and warfare of his body in the earth. You and I are his body. And Jesus, see, he died on that sinner's cross, but he was raised back to life. And he did it to free all of us from bondage like witchcraft. And this, see, all of this exposes the darkness. It exposes the lies. The gospel exposes the lies. The word of God exposes the lies. It shines a light to your feet so you don't stumble. That should be a beautifully open door, an invitation to repent. To repent, to return to the house of God and take out the idols, to return to the house of God and to repair the altar and to consecrate God's place again. That's a beautifully open door. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, it's the things you can't see that are killing today. That invisible enemy. That invisible enemy. Those things kill, but they kill eternally. They're not the things on the surface that the world is trying to put your attention on. It's the stuff underneath that can't be seen that's the problem. Isaiah 8:19 says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" Luke 20:38 says, "For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him." Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Ephesians 5:11 says, "This is why I'm bringing the gospel this morning." Right here, 5:11, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Expose them. Don't participate. Expose them. See, the devil tricks you into this posture of being backed up in a corner and stuck, feeling like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and you're terrified that the truth get out. You're terrified that people find out. You're terrified of being caught, being exposed. But that's exactly what needs to happen. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" 1 Timothy 4:7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Colossians 2:18 through 23, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, minister and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." That fleshly mind, vainly puffed up in the fleshly mind. We have to take all of our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The many warnings in the Bible are clear on witchcraft. They're all, witchcraft reaches across every cultural boundary. It reaches across regional and historic lines. Witchcraft is common in more places than is admitted, than is seen, that is even acknowledged. Witchcraft is very common, unfortunately. But witchcraft is also evil. It is rebellious. It is puffed up. And it's opposition to God. It is not God's will. It's not God's best for you. Jesus has overcome the works of darkness. And we as Christians are commanded by God in the New Testament of these two things about witchcraft. Don't be involved with it, and expose it. Christians should be apart from it. They should be separated from it. They should be in opposition to witchcraft. And they should be exposing it, not hiding it. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Ephesians 5:11 in the New Living Translation. Exodus 34:14, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." He's a jealous God. Matthew 4:10, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus turned, looked at Peter in the face, and said, "Satan, get thee hence." You have to worship God and him only. You should serve God only. Correction, that's Matthew 4:10. That's in the wilderness, the temptation, when he was tempted by Satan. Galatians 5:19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All the symbols and all the rituals and practices, they're not new. They didn't come about this week or last year. They were handed down from generation to generation, from ancestors to descendants. They were passed along from spirit to spirit. Demons, couriers of lies, they couried, they messaged, they delivered a lie, a trap, a weapon, a sickness, transferred it like a plague from the beginning of time until now. A plague that continues. And each and everything we do should really be placed under careful consideration as to where it came from. What spirit did it come out of? Who is this practice meant to honor and worship, really? See, magic and witchcraft is not trendy. It's not acceptable. It's not. Never will be. It's never acceptable to do those things under whatever purpose or reason, that guise of entertainment or humor, fun, medicine, tradition, or whatever, therapy, research, ritual, whatever. It's not right, including blood rituals and bloodlust fetishes. Witchcraft is blatant, right-out sin. It's just sin. It's rebellion against God. And God is clear when he defined it, when he spoke it, telling us, warning us, it's wrong. It's defilement. This is outright witchcraft. Doing it will cause harm. And because spirits and demons, when they enter, when they come in, they destroy, they steal, they kill, they take the life that God gives you, the purpose that God gives you, the blessings, the promises that God gives you, and through witchcraft, they take it. We shouldn't be tricked or enchanted by witchcraft. Jesus is our Redeemer. He came and saved us. He paid a heavy, heavy price. He didn't have to, but he did it. And he's overcome all of this. He overcame it. And so the word to us this morning is Leviticus 19:31 says, "Regard them not that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Exodus 22:18, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Deuteronomy 18:9, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee." Leviticus 20, verse 6. "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." Leviticus 20, verse 27, "A man also or a woman that hath the familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone him with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." God's word is clear. There's a heavy penalty. There's too much at stake. There's too much cost. It's not worth it. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. It shall not be found." Isaiah 8:19, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Isn't God enough? Isn't God enough? Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Acts 16, verse 16 through 18. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Paul, knowing what 1 John 4:1 says, Paul knew what 1 John 4:1 said. When it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Paul tried that spirit. He got annoyed and cast it out. Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What can save you is Jesus Christ. What can save? Nothing else. Nothing else. But Jesus Christ can make you free from the law of sin and death this morning. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 John 3:1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. All the fullness of the Godhead is in Jesus. God put it there. God placed a purpose through his work on the cross. And that purpose was to save you and I. God did not give us this power to become the sons of God. He did not give us the authority over all the power of the enemy just for us to respond to this threat of fear and witchcraft and death. By saying that's someone else's problem. He didn't give us the power and the authority for us to sit back and push the problem on somebody else. He gave us the power to overcome it, to render breakthroughs, victories. Luke 10:19, Jesus says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And what? Nothing. And what? Nothing. And what? Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Is Jesus a liar? No. Nope. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What's that name? Jesus. It's at that name, at the mention of that name, that knees have to bow. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him. Would you receive Jesus this morning? Would you receive him? He stands at the door and knocks. Would you open? Would you let Jesus in? He stands at the door and knocks. And you know he's knocking on your door. John 1:12-13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are we Jesus believers? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you receive him, you are born of God. Matthew 10:1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Every kind of sickness. Jesus gave them authority. He summoned them. That has a courtly resonance to it. When Jesus summons, that's a authoritative thing. When Jesus summons and gives authority, if Jesus summons me and gives me authority, is it then my response to put the problem on somebody else or to take care of it? Luke 9:1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Praise God. Mark 6:13, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. Wow. Guess what? That's today too. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. Luke 10:17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name. So the body of Christ, the true church, the Jesus believers, are given authority, given power, the command to take up serpents, scorpions. These are spirits. These are spirits. We're given the authority and the power to take them up, not run from them. Psalm 46 in the King James. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. In a time where the witches are trying to take center stage and glorify the problem, they forgot about the word. They're disregarding the word that doesn't fail, the word that's all powerful, the word that became flesh and dwelt among men. You can't disregard the word of God. You can't set up a fortress and besiege the holy city of God. The word of God, the name of God is placed in the city. And we possess our gates. If God be for us, who can be against us? What can man do to you? What can man do to us? We have God. Psalm 144 in the King James says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightnings and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me, and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s at our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Not carnal, but mighty through God." There is an open invitation to witches in this hour. To repent, turn from your wicked thoughts, turn from your crafts, and come to Jesus. He's knocking at the door. Won't you come and see that he saves to the uttermost? If you would, you'll be happy. You'll be that people that is happy. Yea, happy, whose God is the Lord. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, you shine your light, you shine that word into the places that are being hidden, the places that are being restricted and bound up, and set free the soul bound up by the bondage of witchcraft and the lies that the devil has put there. Set them free. Set them free. Break those bands asunder and set them free. Set them free. Give them the power to become the sons of God. In the name of Jesus, set them free. Now is the day of salvation. Deliverance has come. Repent and turn to Jesus, and he will save you to the uttermost. Praise God, Tedline. God is good. Get in the flow in Jesus' name. Get in the flow in Jesus' name. We will see you tomorrow morning in the name of Jesus.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Who paid our price like you?
There's only one. If you know there's only one, make some noise.